Carolyn Aiken is a Cookeville artist who specializes in abstract realism painting. Marilyn, what led you to first pick up a paintbrush?
Well, after retiring from teaching school, I wanted to try painting. I've always wanted to try it, but I didn't know where to begin, didn't know where to go, what to buy or anything. So my daughter was working at the Y at the time, and she said, "Mom, why don't you just come and try their paint, doing a paint class?" And so a lady named Donna Benign, she originally lived in Florida but moved up here. And so I took a class or two and really enjoyed it, and I've been painting ever since.
So you've only been painting for how long?
Almost 5 years.
Well, because your work's really impressive for just 5 years. And what else is kind of interesting to me is that you're a true artist at heart when I look at your work, mm-hmm. and that it took you that long to come to that realization that I'm finally going to tackle this. Why did it take so long?
Well, I, you know, had three daughters and I stayed home, took care of them. And then I did go back to school and to be a teacher. But before that, I was a teacher assistant. And so I was always using color. I was always using shapes. And doing bulletin boards and things like that. So I've always been interested in color. My dad wrote poetry, that kind of, you know, as part of the arts. And he also played a lot of music, and because he was in a big band orchestra before I was born. So I was always introduced to a lot of genres of art. And so I've loved I've loved paintings all my life, and I wanted to see if I could do that. And so that's why I went to that class, and I just enjoyed every moment about it.
We're talking painting with Marilyn Aiken on the scene. We're chatting with Marilyn Aiken, Cookeville artist. Marilyn, how would you brand your style of painting?
I would say that it is abstract realism.
Abstract realism. And I see that in your work because I see a lot of your subjects you're painting from a realistic perspective, but then you are not so tight in your work. You have very loose brush strokes. You use colors that I feel like are really coming from your heart, not so much like, you know, what you would see if you look directly into nature. So that's my perspective of how, you know, I see mm-hmm. what you do. How would you elaborate on that?
Well, I do take different colors and I blend them together. I use certain things to highlight what I'm going to paint. Sometimes people have told me there's a magical look to my backgrounds or to my angels when I use texture and I use certain tools to make the painting look almost like a fairy tale or something that just is inspiring to them. Mm-hmm. Like my angels, you know, they are so special to me because when God gave me this gift about 5 years ago, I wanted to use it as a ministry to help people. And so that's why I do paint angels. And I do not paint them to show sorrow or loss, or even when it's, you know, a hard time and someone's lost an animal, lost a friend, lost a person in their life. I usually try to show joy and happiness and hope. In all that I do, peace and calm. So I try to take colors that are things that just are soft. Mm-hmm. And I take those colors. I put the harder colors or say the brighter colors in the background of my angels, and I make my angels soft. I even use small paint rollers, real tiny ones, and I will use those to make the wings so they look like they're moving or they're flying. And so I just, you know, I try to put myself of what I'm thinking and what comes to my mind of how I want it to look, what God would want them to look like. And I try to put that in there so when they see those paintings, then they see joy and they see friendship. And they see a calm coming from that angel.
I see that when I look at your work. I see a beautiful soul creating from the depths of her heart when I look at your work. And I also see the feedback on your Facebook whenever you post your work. The response is overwhelmingly positive, and it's joyful, and it's loving, and it must really make you feel good to know that you are really blessing people, even if they don't, you know, come out and buy your art. Just the visual of it on social media, when you scroll through these days, sometimes it's not all positive, and you can always count on you to bring light to the feed. And I think that your angels, what you're trying to interpret, you're definitely getting that effect. And I see a lot of warmth in them as well. Are there other subjects that you really enjoy painting?
There are. Because I'm from Kentucky, I was born and raised there, and moved to Cookeville about 40-something years ago. I'm used to this beautiful area around here, and I love to go out and, like, walk along the hike or walk along the trails at City Lake or at Center Hill Lake. I love to go to the oceans. I love to go and sit by the creeks. And I just get inspiration from these places because I feel peace, I feel restful, I feel calmness being there, and I feel like I can put those things into my paintings when I do decide what to paint. And so I just love even driving through the country roads and seeing the hay fields with the hay bales on them, old barns, just the birds flying all around. And I love the different colors of the birds and watching them fly and hearing them sing. And all those things touch me. And to me, that's what art is all about. If I can paint something that will touch an individual to make them smile, I've done what I wanted to do.
Absolutely. We're chatting with Marilyn Aiken, abstract artist on the scene. Today we will meet with Jeremy Blair, who is owner of Jeremy Blair Art, and he specializes in alternative process photography. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I'm trying to understand this. So you take objects and then you put them onto a piece of paper, and then you photograph those objects?
Let me walk you through the whole process.
Yeah, let's do that.
So first thing, one of my innovations that I've come up with is I don't use a dark room. I actually pitch a tent outside, and it's a black tent, and it's actually used for growing plants. And because I don't like to use a sterile room, I like to be outside amongst the things that I'm using. Mm-hmm. So if I'm using lots of plants and materials, I want to be out there with them. So basically what I'll do is I'll create this tent, and then I'll try to make it as light tight as possible, where I'll put duct tape around it and plug some of the holes. And, inside of it, I'll have all of my, just basic equipment, including the photosensitive paper. So Kodak, creates this photosensitive paper where you can only pull out a sheet of paper in complete darkness. If you just pull it out in the room like we are now, it'll ruin it. So I'll pull out a piece of paper inside the tent with all the zippers closed. And I will have some material, say some leaves and sticks, things I'm interested in, different shapes I've found out in nature. I'll create a composition with those items. And then I'll actually have a flashlight in my pocket. And it's just like a little LED flashlight. And so instead, like in a traditional dark room, you'll have an enlarger. And an enlarger has a light bulb in it. So this flashlight will kind of act like an enlarger. And basically all I'll do is stand a little bit back from the paper and just do a quick exposure with the flashlight. So I'll turn the flashlight on and then turn the flashlight off. So it's just this kind of kiss of light onto the paper. And then you can't see, nothing changes on the paper after that. It's just still blank white. So then I'll remove the sticks and leaves and things off the paper, and it still just looks like a normal piece of paper. And then I have three different chemicals that are in trays in the tent. The first chemical is called the developer. And what that does is I submerge the print or the piece of paper into the developer, and you can actually watch the image come to life. And that's where the traditional dark room with like the red safe light, it's the same process basically. Then I'll pull that out, put it in a chemical that's right next to it in a different tray called the stop. And basically that's just vinegar. It's like a really strong vinegar solution. and it stops the developer from working. So I want the image to stay looking how it's looking. And then my last chemical is called the fix. And the fix basically just helps with any imperfections, some discolorations that might happen during the process. And then lastly, I put it in an Epsom salt bath, like you would do a foot bath at home. And I just let the print soak in that, and the chemicals will be stripped away from the surface and clean it. And then I'll hose it off in like the faucet in a regular sink. And then that's the whole process, is those three chemicals with an Epsom salt bath and just regular water.
Who on earth thought of this?
Well, it's many years of... So the tent adds a lot of variables. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of tiny little light leaks because it's fabric. The tent is woven.
Yeah.
So it is very dark, but there are little light leaks. So when you look at some of my prints, you'll see these little flashes of light. You'll see these little details. You'll see a depth of a grayscale depth of very medium grays, light grays, dark blacks.
Even some pink.
Yeah, that is that would be technically a mistake. If I was a traditional darkroom photographer, they wouldn't even show that print. But since I'm alternative process, I'm open to the variables.
Yeah.
The pink is just I mixed one of the chemicals incorrectly. So I'm assuming the fix, which is the third chemical, the fixer, it's not strong enough. And it didn't actually take care of that discoloration. So I needed to have mixed that chemical a little stronger. But I actually like
the
discoloration.
I love it. It mm-hmm. just... It gives it character. So I want to find your work. Where can I find you?
Sure. There's a couple places you can go. The best place right now is probably Instagram. If you just go to @JeremyBlairArt, and that's just all one term, Jeremy Blair Art on Instagram. I've posted about 100 individual pieces. And what I do is three or four times a week, I'll post an individual piece with the title and everything. And please message me if you're interested in purchasing, or if you just like a piece. I welcome anybody to comment. You can also go to my website, which you can see my entire catalog of things I've made over the last several years is backlogged there. You can also, you know, find my resume and things like that, contact information, and that is at blairarted.com. So www.blairarted.com. Because I'm an art education professor.
Okay.
You can even see images from my students' work is on there as well.
We're chatting with Marilyn Aiken, abstract realism artist. And Marilyn, so you've been painting for 5 years. And how did your process take shape after your first lesson? Tell me about that.
Well, I was taking lessons at the Y from Miss Benign. And we were doing flowers. I remember my first flower, and I did like a lavender background, you know, and then I added some pearl to that, and then I did a big camellia on there. And instead of just following the lines of what was on the magazine picture, I felt better if I just went kind of my own style and made it bigger. And I added like lots of texture to it, and I would add darker colors in some places to add dimension. And I just kind of took off, and that's the way I do all my paintings. I just really enjoy looking at flowers, say like peonies, and I look at them, and they're beautiful the way they are, but I want to put my touch on them. And so I make them like bigger, and I may face one a different way, and I may make a bud on one. And when I do, I just really, first of all, though, I think about my background, because I do different kinds of backgrounds. I do the crosshatch. I do ones with palette knives, and I do a lot. The palette knife is usually what I use on the background of my angels. And so even with the flowers, I use palette knives sometimes. I even use paper towels dipped in different colors of paint and do splotches. And I will highlight it and make it a little darker around the flowers, and then get lighter as I go away from the flowers, so that I'm really highlighting the main subject. And so I Like I said, I use acrylics. That's what I use. I've tried watercolor. I've tried oils. But I just feel more comfortable with acrylics because they are more forgivable. And I may be painting a picture and then decide all of a sudden, I don't want that in there. So I just cover it up with white paint and then start over.
Start over again. You can't do that so much with oil painting. You have to wait a couple days before mm-hmm. you can start over. So for your texture in your painting, what are you using to get that effect?
Well, I use, like I said, I use the palette knife. I use layers upon layers of paint. I've used paint rollers. I use all kinds of brushes, but I really like the large brush the mm-hmm. best. I can do work with that and do a lot of the underlining lines with that. But one of the funniest things that I've ever used was I had painted a blue heron that had visited the pond where we always go in Florida at Cape San Blas. And I wanted to, so I painted the blue heron different colors, and I had some reeds, and I had the pond, but the pond just looked so plain. And my grandson had eaten, the two of them had eaten like six eggs that morning. So what I did was I took the eggshells and I washed them, I dried them, and I cracked them up. I glued them down on my pond, and I painted over them, and it looked like water lilies and other things to give the pond a lot of different texture and colors in it.
Isn't that amazing? We're chatting with Marilyn Aiken, abstract realism painter on the scene.
Helping you to discover new artists from right here across the Upper Cumberland and introducing you to their artwork. Welcome to Your Art on the Scene.
This is Liz Casera, and I am here with Debbie Wickman. You have been doing art for how many years now?
Since about 2005, I've been doing pottery and selling it to the public.
You have this wonderful studio back here. Do you have open studio hours for people?
I have on my card printed studio open by appointment, and I'm very happy to have visitors. Just give me a call first. Love to have you come and visit. I don't have a website per se, but I do have Debbie Wickman Pottery on Instagram and Debbie Wickman Pottery on Facebook. And I also sell on Etsy, so Debbie Wickman Pottery is also on Etsy.
Let me ask you this question. Your pottery is so vivid. The wall hangings that you have, like three-dimensional. How did you come to that as your process?
That's an interesting question because all artists develop over time, and I am a lover and observer of nature. And as much as I love throwing pots and just having a beautiful form to a pot, I also love putting decoration on a pot. And a lot of it is nature inspired, and I'm very detail oriented.
Oh, you are. It's lovely. The work that you have with the crows on the wall, just they're gorgeous. And one of the other things I wanted to ask you about, you do a lot of faces on vessels. Tell me about that.
I started doing faces one day with a friend, and I did it more as an exercise in trying to loosen up my work because I do tend to be so detail-oriented. But I love abstracts, and I love things that are put together loosely in the way it looks. So it started out as an exercise in doing that. I enjoyed it so much and was happy with them and have just continued doing that.
Helping to guide you on the path to a new craft. This is Your Art on the Scene.
Chatting with Marilyn Aiken, abstract realism artist. Marilyn, have you been commissioned to do any paintings?
Yes, I have.
And so what is every artist has their own process. What's your process? Run me through step by step.
Well, if it's someone that I'm familiar with or I know them, then we can do something. We usually do it over the phone. If not, I will meet with that person in their home. I will ask them, what makes you happy? What brings you joy? And I'll ask them where they're going to be hanging the painting or displaying it in their home. And we'll go into that room and I will look around and see the colors of the bedspread or whatever's on the desk. And I will look and just see kind of how the emotions I feel when I'm in that room. And then I'll ask them what size of a canvas they would like, because they have to show me where they're going to put it, because then that will tell me how big the focal point will be. And then we get down to colors, and I'll ask them, you know, do you want muted colors? Do you want bright colors? Do you want blended colors? Or just, I try to get them to tell me their emotions as they're talking to me. I'll write them down and see what really makes them smile when they're talking about the painting. Sometimes they want me to paint from a photograph. So I will tell them that I will do that, but usually you don't paint everything that's in a photograph. And we will find the focal point of what's special and why it's special to them. And so then I will take from there and ask other questions just to get their feel about it. And then we just go on, and then we just talk about, you know, how long it'll take me. And a lot of times I'll take a photo as I go along. I'll take lots of photos as I paint a painting. And if it's something that I think they need to see, I'll send them a picture of it on their phone, and I'll just say, is this where we would need to be going at this time, or is there something I need to change? And then I'll just continue painting, and then as when I finish, someone told me once before that you're not done until you sign your painting. So that's the final thing that I do, and then I'll write. Sometimes I write a note on the back of the canvas.
When you're sending them pictures throughout the process, you know, when your painting is not complete, to me, my paintings, I mean, they look very strange and mm-hmm. odd. So does that ever, are people ever like, where are you going with this? Like, what's going on here?
I think I had one that asked me that question, and I told her, and I just went over to her house, and I showed her, what I was going to do at the top and at the bottom, and she said, oh, I see that now.
Yeah, she got it.
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever had anybody dissatisfied?
No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
That's good. That's good. You don't want to go through that. It's not fun. But I feel like most of the time, I mean, if people are commissioning you to do a piece, they like your style of art and they're going to trust you to create something that's in alignment with, you know, their vision. And so there's a reason why they chose you as the artist to create their piece. Do you ever find it hard to get inspired to create commissioned pieces because it didn't come from your organic inspiration?
It sometimes takes me a while to get started because I have to look at the photo and I have to remember what they told me about it. Or, you know, I look at it and I would think, how does she feel? How does this person want this painting to end up? And I try to put myself into her feelings, and then that inspires me because I feel the emotion, and then I try to paint my emotions and inspirations into my painting.
Yeah, I gotcha. It's sometimes it's hard for me to get revved up on those commissioned pieces because it wasn't my inspiration, but I always find that with commissioned pieces, there is always a new, it's almost like an up-leveling. Like there's like a new discovery within yourself because you're going outside of your comfort zone and you're learning something new. You're learning mm-hmm. maybe, you know, like I did a sea scene for somebody and I was like, wow, it's not something that I would do. I don't paint nautical art, but it's like one of my favorite paintings. And I got to explore an aspect of myself mm-hmm. I didn't know was there. And Marilyn, where can people find your work?
Well, I usually, when I finish painting one, I will put it on my Facebook page just under Marilyn Aiken.
That's worked out pretty well for you.
It has.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a nice little following on there. Today, we will meet with Jennifer Luna, who is the owner of Maple Moon Designs. She specializes in printmaking and textile designs. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So well, I want to hear about Maple Moon Designs. What is it exactly that you do?
So Maple Moon Designs is my textile design business. And so I started it a little over 2 years ago. And I specialize in designing fabrics through the process of linoleum block printing, as well as paintings and sketches that are then printed on the fabric.
And so were you always interested in art, or when did that start?
So I can't pinpoint a certain age that I remember becoming interested. I always remember being interested in art and creative things since I was a little girl. My grandmother is actually a painter, and so I think that kind of kickstarted the idea in my head that that was something that you could do. So I remember taking watercolor classes and different things like that as a little girl.
How did that go into printmaking and working with textiles? How did that all happen?
Well, my mom is a seamstress. She knows how to sew, and so she would make clothes for my sister and I when we were little. And so I always remember loving the fabric and going to the fabric store and just loving seeing all the patterns and the prints on there and just thinking that was so fascinating. And so when I started going to tech, I thought fibers would be, you know, my direction, where I should be, since I had always had that interest in fabrics and things. So I learned the linoleum block printing process in the fibers department at the Appalachian Center for Craft. And from there, after graduating, I elaborated the process and kind of added my own twist to what I had learned there.
And what are some of the images that you're printing on your products?
So most of my images are nature inspired, you know, and so birds and flowers and just anything that you can find in nature. And that's like endless inspiration, you know.
Yeah. Where I want to find some of your work. So where can I find you?
I do have an Etsy store. Yeah.
What's the name of that shop?
It's called Maple Moon Design. There's no S on it for Etsy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you on Instagram?
I am on Instagram, and my handle on there is Luna Maple Moon.
Well, thanks so much for coming out today. It was awesome having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Great.